Hey, man, that was something, wasn't it? Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 11 this evening. We're going to get back to our study through the Gospels. Matthew 7 and Luke chapter 11, if you can find those places in your Bible. So thankful for you being here tonight, your faithfulness. And tonight we're going to learn about how to receive good things from the Lord. And so if you find your place, we're going to just read Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 for our text. And we'll study Luke 11 as we go along as well. So if you're able, let's stand to honor the Word of God tonight. Matthew 7, 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for the promises of it. Please teach us how to pray and help us to be faithful, diligent, and fervent in our prayers every day. Thank you so much for your goodness to us, above all things for your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. And please be seated. Seeking to receive good from the Lord. I want to give you a few principles for how to seek good from the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like it. Your Father which is in heaven will give good things to them that ask him. It's a good promise, isn't it? It's a great promise. It's a promise that we all believe, but we fail to receive, because we ask not, therefore we receive not. And we want to learn a little bit tonight. So if you've got your place held down in Matthew 7, look over to Luke 11 and verse 5. Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. The first principle that we want to learn tonight comes from Luke 11, verses 5 through 8. And we need to seek importunely. Now, this word importunity is not a word that we use commonly, but it's used right here in our Bible verse. We want to learn about it, learn how to seek importunely today. So Luke 11, verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. So in Luke 11, the disciples have asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. He's given them the disciples' prayer and how to pray. And then he says, listen, just think about this for a second. And he gives them a parable to consider. You've got a friend. And one night, late at night, somebody comes to your house, and they want to stay with you. They're journeying through, and they've waited a little too long. They've stayed on the road too long, and they've come in very, very late. They need a place to stay. So they're your friends, so they come to your house, but you don't have anything to give them to eat. They've been on the road. They need something to eat. And so you say, you wait right here. I'll be right back. And you go over to your friend's house, and you knock on the door and say, listen, I need 3 loaves. Somebody stopped at my house. I don't have anything to give them. And they say, leave me alone. The door's shut. The kids are in bed. Everything's done for the day. Don't bother me. Listen, it's not you. I don't even know this person that needs that bread. That's your friend. You deal with them. Listen, I've already got everything settled here. The door's shut. Don't bother me. Listen, it's not life or death. Nobody's dying over there. It's just, you just need some bread. It's not a big deal. And yet you just keep knocking. Please. I just need 3 loaves of bread. I don't have anything to give them. Please, just come. And can't you just, real quick, just give me what you got? Please, just help me out. And so, he says in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. This word importunity, it's defined as a pressing solicitation. It's an urgent request. It's urged with troublesome frequency or persistence. This importunity that the Lord talks about, he says, listen, he's not going to get out of breath because you're such good buddies. He's not going to give you what you need because he cares about you or your friend or the condition you're in. He's going to help you just because you won't leave him alone. What good does it do to have the door shut and the kids in bed? Some idiot's knocking on the door and won't leave him alone. Right? So just to shut you up, he'll get out of bed and he'll give you what you need so you'll go home and leave him alone. Now then, the parable is this. If your friend who wouldn't help you out because he's a friend will do it just because you won't leave him alone, how much more will your heavenly Father give to you? He loves you and he's good to you and he cares about you. And he doesn't just care about you, he cares about your friends. He's glad to provide not only for your needs, but for the needs of those that you would seek him for. So when we seek to have the good from God, we need to seek it importunely. You need to seek it with some seriousness, pressing solicitation. It needs to be an urgent request. It needs to be urged with troublesome frequency. We need to have some pressure in our prayers. Lord, I need your help. Lord, there's somebody that needs your help. I don't know if you're paying attention a while ago with the prayer request, but there's some people who need some help. Amen. And we don't just need to say, oh, Lord, please be with all these prayer requests. No, we need to be with importunity. Lord, please help my friend that's got cancer. Lord, please help Sister So-and-so's aunt, so-and-so's cousin, so-and-so's uncle, their co-worker. Please be with them. Lord, they've got cancer, and we don't know if they're going to make it. Please be with them. And today and later today and tonight and again tomorrow morning and again tomorrow night and day after day after day after day, we need to come to the Lord with importunity and say, Lord, please be with these people. Please be with these needs. Please save these lost souls. Please heal these sick people. Lord, please bless these needs. Please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. And listen to me, if that friend wouldn't get out of bed for a friend, if he wouldn't get out of bed because his kids were in bed, if he wouldn't open the door because it was already shut, if he wouldn't give a few loaves out of his abundance for no other reason than to just get you to leave him alone, listen, friend, our Heavenly Father will be so good to us, but he wants to know that we're serious about our requests. We've got a few moms in the room tonight. Moms are good at this. Have you ever had your children? Some of you dads might be smart enough to. Probably not, but maybe. Moms are good at this. Your kids come to you and they ask for something, but you can tell when they ask that they don't really care about it at all. It's just something that flipped through their mind. And you know, because you can say no, and they go away and they forget about it and they never bring it up again. You know what I'm talking about? Well, okay, you know, it's August, so it's time to start thinking about Christmas, right? If you've been to Hobby Lobby lately, you would think that, or any other store. You know, those are things that your kids will see some advertisement for, and they'll be like, oh, I want one of those, and you'll never hear about it again. But there's some things that they really, 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 really want, and they won't shut up about it. And you can say no, and you can say no, and you can say no, but it just keeps coming back and keeps coming back. And some of those things, even under threat of spankings, they will still keep bringing it up, right? Because kids aren't smart, and they really do want spanking sometimes. Quit asking them. Yeah, they really do. But we know because they keep pressing and keep pressing and keep pressing and keep pressing and keep asking and keep asking, and they just ding you to death about it. You know that they're serious about it. You know it's something they really, 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 really want. And that's what this importunity is.
Listen, God knows if you just bring it up one time and you don't think about it anymore, it's not on your heart, it's not on your mind, you're not continually bringing it before the throne of grace, he knows you're not serious about it. So why would he give it to you? He wants us to seek with importunity. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we come to him praying, this God who loves to give, this God who loves to bless. Seek importunately. Next, seek progressively. I want you to look here in Luke 11 while you're there. Look at verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And now turn back to Matthew chapter 7 and look at verse 7 again. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now I believe that there's a teaching here of progressive asking, of progressive seeking, of progressive looking after something from God. If you want the good things of God, God wants you to come after it. He wants you to come not just importunately, but progressively. But before we get into that, I want to clear something up. Does this mean that we can ask for anything we want from God, anything that pleases our fancy, and God has to give it to us because he said, ask and you shall receive? I mean, is this teaching tonight that these are absolute promises and that there's no qualifications? Because that's what I hear from a lot of people out there in Christianity, that if you just have enough faith, you can have anything that you want. Right? Now, there is a prerequisite for this, and faith is one of those things. Whatever we ask, we need to believe. If you don't believe, there's no point in asking. But people have this idea of belief that it's just mustering up something in their hearts and minds to be really, really, really sincere, that they believe what they're about to ask for, God's going to give it to them. They think that's what asking in faith means. I'm just going to muster this up. And I really, 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 really believe God's going to give me that new truck. And I just know he will. I pray. I'm going to claim it. Is that what he's saying? Friend, if you've been taught that or if you've bought into that, I just want to tell you that these promises have qualifications. One, it has to be asked in belief. But not belief in something that we muster up ourselves, our own ideas. Belief in the Word of God. Belief in the promise of God. It's also limited or restricted by this, by the goodness of God. If you pay attention to what he says, ask, you'll receive, seek, you'll find, knock, it shall be open. He goes on to tell us in verse 11 that God will give what? Good things. And God knows what's good for you. God won't give you anything that's ultimately not going to be for your good. Everything that God does in our lives is for his glory and for our good. Now, it may not seem to be good at the time. God sends chastening in our lives, and for the present season, it sure doesn't seem to be good, but ultimately, it is for our good. It's not, I promise, when you give your kid a whooping, he doesn't think, man, this is great. My parents love me so much. I know this is what I really need. This is the best thing for me right now. No, not in the moment. They don't think that. But you know that in that moment, that's what they need. It's for their good. God's going to give us what's good for us. It may not always seem good, but God promises to give that which is for our good. Now listen to this. We may ask for something that would be bad for us, but God in his mercy will withhold it from us. Now he hasn't always dealt with everybody like that. God deals with unbelievers differently. The unbelieving Jews in the wilderness, they ask God for meat. They ask him for flesh. You know what? He gave it to them. And the Bible says in Psalm 78, while the flesh was in their teeth, the wrath of God came on them. You see, God has blessed us so greatly today. God doesn't always give us what we ask for. God sometimes will withhold from us the things that would be bad for us. Isn't He good? First John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. We've got to ask believing, but it's got to be in the will of God. There's a progression. First, the Lord says, ask. It means ask, beg, call for, crave, desire. It still comes with that idea of importunity, that we would ask and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. If we ask in faith and it's according to the will of God, God will give it to us. Ask and you shall receive. For he, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And then he says, not just to ask, but he says to seek. Now, what we're talking about, these good things, the gracious gifts of God, we don't just find in prayer, we also find them in study. When you want to find something from God, where do you find it? Do you find it in your own mind and in praying? And yes, God speaks to our hearts, He speaks to our minds, but He speaks to us through His Word. And when you want to know something, when you want to know how to deal with this problem, when you want to know how to deal with this situation in your life, you want to know how to live day by day, you got to go to the Word of God to figure that out. And you're not going to find it. Listen, if your Bible study consists of picking your Bible up about once a month and just flipping through the pages and going, oh, there's a good place. If that's all it is, that's not enough. That's not seeking. Listen, if we really want to find something from God, we're going to seek. We're going to look for it. We're going to search for it as for hid treasure. And there are treasures in that Bible. Wisdom that can change our lives and change our families. And yeah, even change our community and our nation. There are truths in that book, but we're not going to find it if it's just sitting on a shelf. I think there's some great things that you can have as far as the Bible goes day by day. A lot of you do like a verse of the day. I think that's good. I think a verse of the day is good. One verse to just meditate on and mull over and think about all day long. But listen, friends, we need to get into the Word. We don't need to just read to check off a list. We need to study to show ourselves approved. You guys with me? We don't need to just read to check off a list. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to study. Listen, if you're saved and you know how to read, you ought to be studying your Bible on your own every single day. You guys with me? If you're saved and you don't know how to read, you can get an audio Bible and somebody else will read it to you. But you ought to study the Word of God. Seek. Seek. There's a progression. And then he says, knock. This word knock means to knock. Have you ever been dealing with a problem in your life and you prayed about it and you don't seem to really get the answers you're looking for? And then you get your Bible and you study and you still don't find the answers you look. You feel like you just can't find the solution. You're still not at ease. You still don't have peace about this. And you just kind of feel almost like you come up against a wall. Anybody ever feel like that? You ever feel like in your own life, you're saved, you know you're saved, but you've got some sin in your life, you're having a hard time with, you're struggling with it. And friends, I've been there. And you commit that sin and you go to God and you ask Him to forgive you, get in the Word, you find these scriptures to try to help you, and you just fall into it again and again and again. You ever been there? You just feel like you come up against the wall, like you just can't get past this thing. And you know what God wants you to do? You've asked and He wants you to keep asking. You've sought in His Word. You're seeking in His Word and you just haven't found it yet. And He says, I want you to keep seeking. I want you to keep asking. And then I want you to knock. I want you to pound on the door. I want you to say, God, please help me. I want you to try to get my attention. And if you'll ask, you'll receive. And if you'll seek, you'll find. And if you'll knock, he will open the door to you. How long do you have to ask? I don't know. How long do you have to seek? I don't know. How many times do you have to knock, preacher? I don't know. But you keep asking till you get it. You keep seeking, you keep looking until you find it. And you keep knocking until he opens up the door and you're able to get through this problem, to get through this temptation, to get through this struggle, get through this trial. You just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and sometime, someday, some way, you will get through. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we can get to those good gifts? Do you believe that we can get the grace of God? Yeah, he promises. But you have to ask, you have to seek, and you have to knock. There's a progression. We need to seek importunately. We need to seek progressively. And lastly, we need to seek faithfully. Look on there at verses 9 through 11. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? In Luke 11, he goes on and gives one more example. He gives the example of the bread and the stone. He gives the example of the fish and the serpent. He also gives in verse 12 the example of this. If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, I think that there's a progression here as well. Your son comes to you and says, Dad, can I have some bread? And you say, sure, son. And you reach down and pick up a rock and say, here you go. Now, some of you would do that. Yeah, you would. But if he were really, really hungry and he needed bread, you would give him bread. Right? We live in a different society today, but if he says, Dad, can I have a fish? I'm hungry. Now, fish is a little bit bigger than bread, isn't it? I mean, that's a little bit more. That's a step up. That's something better. Bread's okay. You can live on bread, but fish, that's meat. That's better. If your son asks you for something a little better, are you going to give him a snake? Now, most of you guys would never touch a snake. Some of you people are crazy enough to touch a snake. But most of you that would touch a snake would not be cruel enough to give it to your kid. Most of you. And then he goes in Luke and he gives the example of the egg. Now I'm told that in those days an egg was a serious delicacy, that very few people ever ate eggs, and it was a big deal. This is like a whole new level. And let me tell you what happens when you grow in spiritual maturity. You'll learn to ask God for bigger and bigger and bigger things. And I'm not talking about, well, I ask him, you know, for a little car, now I'm asking him for a house. I'm not talking about that. This isn't that kind of message. You watch that on the TV later. I'm talking about the grace of God. I'm talking about the good things of God. I'm talking about when you first start out, you're asking for little things. You're still trying to get over cussing and all this other nonsense. And then as you grow and you move forward, you're asking for bigger things. Lord, help me to be a better witness at work. Help me to reach my friend with the gospel. And you're just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And your vision gets bigger. And your trust in the Lord gets bigger. And you're asking for greater things, for God to do greater things in your life and the lives of those around you. And you're believing God the whole way. Lord, I'm so glad that you give me bread every day and you've been giving me fish for a long time. But Lord, give me some eggs now. You've helped me with these little things, and you've helped me along the way, Lord. Do some great things in our church. Lord, help us reach our whole community with the gospel. Help so-and-so to be saved, and these people in this neighborhood that they'll hear and believe the gospel, and you're just bigger and bigger vision, bigger and bigger grace that you're asking for. And he says, listen, if ye then being evil, who was the Lord talking to? Now, we established this months ago. Was he talking to the multitudes? No, remember, he went away from the multitude into the mount. And his disciples, his church, came around him. He's not talking to a mixed multitude. He's talking to the church. And he looks his disciples in the eye and says, if ye then being evil. He called his own church evil. I don't feel so bad now. He looked his own disciples in the eye and he said, if you being evil. Well, what's he saying? Well, we're sinful. We're wicked. We have a cruel heart sometimes. We don't always do the right things. We don't always treat our kids the right way, but we'll provide for our own children. Amen. Even in our fallen state, we have this natural tendency to do what's right by our kids. Amen. And if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, listen to it. Listen. How much more? How much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Amen. In Luke 11, he says, how much more shall your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? God will give you his Spirit so that you can walk in the Spirit. He will give you grace so that you can bear fruit for him. He will give you grace so you can overcome temptation. He will give you grace so that you can be a witness. He will give you grace so you can further his kingdom. He will give you grace to be the man or woman he's called you to be, the husband or wife he's called you to be, the mom or dad he's called you to be, the child he's called you to be, the church member he's called you to be, the witness he's called you to be. He will give you grace. He will give you grace. Good things. If we'll just ask, seek, and knock. How much more? What a question. If wicked, sinful, carnal people like you and me can give good to our kids, how much more will God Almighty give to us? We need to ask in faith. James, talking about wisdom, but I think it applies to anything we would ask God for. That's a grace of God. He says, if you ask in faith, believing, he's God that gives to all men liberally and abradeth not. He says, if you ask in faith, believing, you'll receive it. He says, but some of you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. You see, God looks in our hearts and there's reasons God won't hear our prayers. But I'm telling you this, if in a right heart you ask for the grace of God, the good things of God, the things that are in his will, and you ask with importunity, you ask progressively, you ask faithfully, God will give you grace. We're going to get ready for an invitation tonight. And while they're coming, I want to ask you this. How many of you believe what I just showed you from the Bible tonight? I don't want anybody to raise their hand or anything, but how many of you believe that you pray just as much and just the right way that you ought to? I mean, you pray with that importunity, you pray with that faith, you pray progressively. I mean, you are earnestly seeking the face of God. I mean, you're like Jacob, you've got a hold of the Lord and you're not going to let go until he blesses you. How many of us pray like that? Listen, friends, if we're not praying like that, we're not praying the way the Lord just told us to. And we wonder why we don't have his grace. We wonder why we're defeated. We wonder why we can't find the answers to deal with the life's issues. We wonder why we're beat down. We wonder why we keep coming against the wall and falling back again. And the answer's right in front of us. We've known it. But it will do us no good if we don't apply it. I want to challenge you tonight that you'd start praying. I'm challenged tonight. I'm convicted tonight that I would start praying the way God's told us to tonight. Ask, seek, and knock. fervently, faithfully pray. I want to challenge you tonight that starting even tonight, you'd carve out time every day in the morning and at night, at the noon hour, if at all possible, you'd carve out time every day to seek the face of God. That you'd lay this prayer list out before you and you would bring it before the throne of God over and over and over and over and over again every day, multiple times a day, bring it to God and pray with importunity. And I promise you this, people, if you and I would start praying this way, our prayer request time would be filled with praise reports. We would start seeing God do things that we've never seen before. If you're convicted about your prayer life, I want to invite you to come tonight as we stand together. I want to ask you to come tonight if you're convicted about your prayer life, that you come right now and pray and ask God to help you pray the way that you ought to.